In verse number 6, now you can make a number of messages out of this one verse. We're just going to look at one portion of the verse tonight about His name. And Isaiah is a tremendous book of the Old Testament that gives us revelation or gives prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Isaiah 7:14 is that great verse that we probably look at some tonight concerning being born of a virgin. And then Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." In these verses tonight, we find that Isaiah tells us that a child is born and a son is given. And a very distinctive verse there and tells the difference. We've mentioned that and we've looked at that before. There's a difference between a child and a son. And a child is either one, but a son is given. And of course, we know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was born. And the Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulder. The Scripture tells us that one day the Lord's going to rule and reign this world with a rod of iron. He's going to sit from the throne of David. And he's going to rule. The government will be upon his shoulder then. And so this verse has a twofold prophecy. Some of it has been fulfilled. Some of it has not. But you can be sure that what has not been fulfilled at this moment, somewhere in the future, it will be just as the Lord has given to us. And so the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the portion of the Scripture tonight I want us to look at, just the wonderful name of the Lord. Just sort of a continuation this morning, the name of Jesus. We mentioned those things where every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And here Isaiah says his name shall be called Wonderful. And this is a wonderful time of the year. Now, I'm not too fond of some of the things that go on during Christmas and some of the things that you have to go through, but it is a good time of the year. When we look at it scripturally and we look at it from God's side and spiritually, we realize it is a great time because we have the announcement. We have the fulfillment of the coming of Jesus Christ as given to us in the Gospels that He was born. Can you imagine what it would be like if the Lord had not been born? Can you imagine if there was no Jesus, if there was no Christmas? And I found this somewhere and wrote it down. It says, had Jesus not come, there would be no Salvation Army and there would be no Red Cross. If Jesus had not come, the Ivy League schools such as Princeton and Brown, Cornell, Dartmouth and Yale and Harvard, they would not have been founded, and because the Lord would not be here. And they were founded. It's surprising for the things that they stand for now to realize how they were started and why they were started. Harvard and Yale, they were started as preacher colleges, and where men would go in and learn how to preach and learn the Scriptures and get involved in the Word of God. It's far from that today. But if the Lord had not come, even the pilgrims would probably not have even come here because they wouldn't have had a need to escape the burden and the atrocities that were taking place. And then our families certainly would be in a different position, a different way. And if the Lord had not come, the many, many sins that have been committed would still be to our charge and would be accounted to us, and we'd have to pay for them. But aren't you glad Jesus came? Aren't you glad He was born there as given to us in Bethlehem? There would be no home awaiting us in heaven, and there would be no eternity. There would be nothing if the Lord had not come. Not one Christmas card. I like to look at Christmas cards, and we go through them out there, and we put them in order, and people can pick them up. By the way, pick up your Christmas cards because they won't be much good after next week. And so pick those up. And the Christmas cards are good to look at. And it's a time where people think about others and just a greeting. But if the Lord hadn't come, wouldn't be any of that. Wouldn't be any joyous season. But I'm glad this potentate. He's going to be the supreme commander, and then his name is called Wonderful. That's his reputation. That's who he is, and that's some of the things we want to look at tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That means a good name is more important than having money in your pocket. A good name, the reputation that we have and the character that we display and give to folks and show to people, it's better than the great riches that someone might be able to give us. The Bible says also in Ecclesiastes that a good name is better than precious ointment. And so a good name is pretty important. And his name is wonderful. His name is a good name and the reputation. It's really not in the name itself, but it's in the reputation behind the name. You know, before Judas came and was a part of the 12, and he displayed his attitude against the Lord, and before Judas did that, there was a lot of Jewish boys that were named Judas, but there's not as many now because the name leaves a bad taste. I don't know of anybody that has ever named their children or their child Benedict. We have Benedict Arnold of our country and our history that destroyed was a treason person and nobody goes by that name and they don't want that. And I don't know of anybody that's ever been called Jezebel. Now, I'm sure there are some. I call some people Jezebel. They just don't know it. But I don't know of anybody named Jezebel and don't know of anybody that's ever taken up that name. Why? Because the name gives us an idea of what character they are. And old Ahab and Jezebel, they were not very good characters. So our name becomes associated with who we are. It becomes associated by the things that we do and the people that we are with and the things that come. And we as Christians have taken on the name of Christ because we follow Him. And so that's our name. That's our identity. That's our identification. We're Christians. And a lot of people laugh at that. A lot of people mock that. But you and I tonight know that it's a good name to be called a Christian because we've trusted and we've believed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our name becomes associated with who we are. And sometimes our family name associates us with certain things. Now, I'm sure there's some in my family I don't want to learn too much about. There's some that we probably don't want to know too much about because that name wouldn't be too good. And you go look around and sometimes folks, I've read some family histories and doing the family tree, I found that there's some folks there I don't really care to be identified with. They have the name, they have the same name, and they have the identity, and we're not too involved being associated with them because of what their name brought and what connotation it gives. But I'm glad the name Christian, the name Christ, is a good name that we can be called. And so our most part, our reputation is based upon our character. Now, there is a difference. Reputation is what people think about us. But character is what God knows about us. And our character, if it's right, if our character is right with God and what the Lord knows about us, then our reputation probably will follow. And so tonight I want us to look at just one little section of this verse about the name of the Lord. You know, it does not say His names shall be called. His name shall be called. Singular. His name is Wonderful. And every one of the other names that are here with us describe a certain portion or a certain part of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called, according to Isaiah 7:14, shall be called Emmanuel. We read this morning in Matthew that is God in the flesh, and He came and was birthed unto mankind. His name is Wonderful because of who He is. Thank God we know who He is. This morning we found that He is God in the flesh. Not only is He Son of God, but He's God in the flesh. He's deity. And so His name is Wonderful because of who He is. He told Moses, when Moses asked Him, said, "Now, God, who do I say that has sent me?" And God said, "You just tell them I am sent you." They'll understand. And they did understand that it was the God of heaven. And so the name of the Lord is Wonderful. There's a lot of names concerning Him. He is the King of Glory. He's the Great Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the brightening morning star, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the great physician, the Son of God, the Word of God. A lot of names given to us about the Lord. And every one of them are wonderful names that describe Him. He is the Savior of the world. Thank God tonight that anyone that will come unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. He'll save them unto the uttermost. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the gift of God to mankind that we might have eternal life with Him. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Redeemer, and He is that one that's coming for us. What a wonderful name we find when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, He has a wonderful name. He had a wonderful birth. Isaiah 7:14, we mentioned a while ago, is that great verse in the Old Testament that prophesies not only that a Savior would be born, but it prophesied that He'd be born a certain way. And there's another place in the Old Testament that tells us that prophesied where He would be born, and what city, and all those, everything about the Lord was prophesied, and then that those things might be fulfilled. The New Testament gives us the fulfillment of that. And so the Scripture says, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, shall call His name Emmanuel. We find in the New Testament that word Emmanuel means God with us. God came from heaven. He dwelt among men. He came as a man, and His birth was a virgin birth. I remember years ago there was a big controversy, and it still is very strong today, but I can remember, I believe it was about 1957, that the RSV came out, and it had a different rendering of Isaiah 7:14. Now, I wasn't but 6 years old when that came out, but I remember all the hassle, and I remember all the talk and all the things that were said about that new Bible that's come out, and it has denied even the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And it does deny it. In Isaiah 7:14, it says a young woman. The Scripture says she was a virgin. And the New Testament very clearly tells us that she was a virgin. Mary herself said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And so we find the Scripture gives us prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, and it's very clear that that one that would come, the Lord Himself, gives the sign. And the sign is that when the Messiah comes, He's going to be born a different way. Nobody else has ever been born like Jesus Christ. Nobody has ever lived like the Lord. Nobody's ever died like the Lord. He is a different, unique individual. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Isaiah says, the Lord's going to give you the sign, and here it is. A virgin shall conceive. And I'm sure when Isaiah wrote that, he maybe scratched his head. He said, I don't understand that. Because he didn't understand it. And I'm sure when those that were the scribes, as they wrote down the things that Isaiah had written, they maybe looked at that verse and they said, we don't understand that. But they believed the Word of God. They believed the message of God. They believed the prophet of God. And if Isaiah said it, that means he got it from God. And so we're going to write it and we're going to put it down. And we have it in our translation exactly as it should be, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. We scratch our head. You know why? We don't understand that. Just like Isaiah didn't. Just like that generation. We don't understand it. But I thank God I believe it, and thank God He came the way the Bible says He came. His name is Wonderful. There's prophecies all through the Scriptures. There's fulfillment of that. It was a miraculous birth. And it was given, the Lord shall give. Micah 5:2 tells us that in Bethlehem, thou shalt a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel. And so here not only is He born a certain way, He's born a certain place. No wonder when the fullness of time came, the Bible says that the king put forth a decree that every man, every person had to go back to the city of their birth to pay taxes. And the city of Joseph's birth, you know, and Mary's birth was none other than Bethlehem. Coincidence? No. That the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And so the Bible gives us much about the birth of our Lord. The angel announced His birth. He said unto them, fear not. There to the angels as to the shepherds, as we read Wednesday night, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So everything about the Lord, He is wonderful. Thank God tonight we serve a wonderful Savior. His name is wonderful. His birth is wonderful. Thirdly, what a wonderful life He had. Well, it was a hard life, full of difficulties, full of struggles. It was a wonderful life because He did everything for you and I. Everything that He accomplished, everything that He did that we might be able to one day live with Him. He came to bless and not to curse. Sometimes we hear the stories, we sometimes watch the TV programs, and it depicts our Lord in a total different way than what He came. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman government. He didn't come to start anything special or new. He came to die for mankind. And in that process, He told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we find that as He came to bless people. He came to lift up and not to drag down. He came to save and those which were lost. Oh, somebody says, oh, I wouldn't want that kind of person in my church. Well, I'll tell you what, we need those kind of people. You and I were saved. But we were one day lost. In the New Testament, Paul talks about such were some of you. And boy, that list, not a very good list. He talks about the harlots. He talks about the effeminate. Talks about all the different classes of people that we maybe don't want. But Paul said, you were like that one day. Such were some of you. I'm glad tonight Jesus came. He spent His life. He died that we might have life through Him. There was room, maybe not for Him in the end, but thank God there's room today in our heart as we look to Him. And today, the same is true. There's those that still will not have Him. You can go into the homes and you can find, I saw a statistic this week that in America now, 51%, only 51% of the homes in America have a mom and a dad. 51%. Back 20 years ago, it was 72%. So we're going the wrong direction. We're going the wrong way. But I'm glad Jesus came and He made things, can make things right. Even in brokenness, even in sorrow, hurting. And sometimes when we say there's no way, there's no way. I'm glad He makes a way. Thank God salvation is given to all. His name is wonderful. Wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. He is wonderful in that He cared. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. He's the one that cares more than we could ever imagine. He cared about Zacchaeus, the tax collector that nobody else wanted to talk to. He cared about the woman at the well when he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He cared about her because he knew that she was there. He cared for Jairus' daughter that had died, and he cared for all the different ones that's given to us. He raised a young man and gave him his life back for his mother's sake. He cared about the lepers. He touched them, healed them. And then only just one or two came back and thanked Him for that. He said, where's the nine? And so we find that everywhere the Lord went, everything in His life was life abundant. And He, if you read the story of the disciples, you find that so many times they say, Lord, send them away. Well, it's strange when you read that in the Scripture. Here are the disciples of the Lord, and we even studied that in our Sunday school not too long ago. And they said, Lord, we can't help them. Just send them away. And the Lord said, what do we have? They said, we got 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, have them sit down. And so he did things that was out of the ordinary. He did things miraculous. And that's His wonderful life. And I'm glad, thank God, He still is a wonderful Lord. He's still a wonderful Lord. He still can set our food on the table. He can still pay the bills. He can still take care of us as we have need of Him. He is that wonderful to you and I. It wasn't just that He was here when He did that, but thank God, He does that even today. Have you ever had the Lord take care of something that you didn't know how in the world He was going to do it? Did you ever have a problem? You say, Lord, I don't know how, but I'm trusting You. Thank God He is wonderful, wonderful Lord that He is to you and I. He rebuked the disciples, but yet He would take them over to the side and try to teach them a lesson from what had been brought before them that very day and tried to show them how that they were to act and how they were to respond. A couple of weeks ago, we find that the three that inner circle. They went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter said, well, it's good that we're here. I believe I ought to build a tabernacle, build a little booth. That's what he was talking about. Just build a little space over here for us so that we can look at, have ourselves. And here's Jesus, and here's Moses, and here's Elijah. God come in His voice and said, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. It's not Moses, it's not Elijah, it's His Son. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that He does care. He cared about the multitudes that followed Him. He cared about others. Thank God, I believe He cares for us. I believe He takes care of His own. So we have a wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful name. His name shall be called Wonderful. No wonder His name's Wonderful. Look what all He's done. Look at everything that He's accomplished. Look at everything that He did while He walked upon the hills of Galilee, and while He was there living among men. All the things that were accomplished and done. No wonder His name was Wonderful to them. But look what He's done for us. We could take time tonight. What's He done for us? Whether we be young or old, whether we be whatever age, what has He done for us? I believe we could start listing all the good things that the Lord has done. He's a wonderful Savior to us. A wonderful Savior. He had a wonderful purpose. He had a purpose when He came. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What does that mean? It means the Son of God came. And with purpose in His life, He came to live upon this earth, die for mankind, die for the most wicked of sinners, which would be all of us. I mean, we're all in the same category. God doesn't say we have good sinners, bad sinners. He just says we're sinners. Doesn't say white lie, black lie. He just says we're liars. Doesn't say we're good, a little bit good, a little bit bad. He just says we're all bad. He puts us all in the same category. And the Lord came with a purpose, and He was made flesh. He dwelt among us. And the disciples said, John said, we beheld His glory. John said, we looked upon Him. Later on, John said, we've handled Him. We've looked, we've heard, we've handled. All these things are given. And He was that perfect man with a purpose that mankind might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Lord we have. The Scripture says there in 9:6, His name shall be called Wonderful. And then it says Counselor. Has the Lord ever counseled you? I'm glad He's a wonderful Counselor. And I know there's a comma between that, and should be, but He is also, leave the comma out, He's also a wonderful Counselor. He teaches us, He trains us. His purpose was to show us the way, the truth, and the life, which is none other than Himself. His name should be called Wonderful. One day He's going to rule in glory for all eternity. He's going to be the One of all powerful. He is that One that has given His life for us. And even the angels of glory know exactly who He is and what He has accomplished. And one day Jesus is coming back. I'm looking for that time. I believe you're looking for that time. But I'm really looking. I don't understand all about it. I've read it and trying to get it all in a sequence. Like I said, sometimes it's hard to get everything in our time frame because it's difficult, because the Lord deals with eternal things as much as temporal things. But one day He's coming back, and He's going to set up that kingdom. The kingdom is going to be on His shoulders. The kingdom is going to be His, and the world is going to be the subjects of the Lord. And for 1,000 years, it's going to be peace and honor and joy. For 1,000 years, He's going to rule. He's going to be the dictator. Somebody says, we don't like dictators. Well, He's going to be a good one. And everything's going to flourish under Him. And everything's going to work right under Him. And at the end of 1,000 years, you'd think everything would be well. But during that 1,000-year period of time, there's people that are born that are not recipients of the grace of God. They're just there. They're just, and the Bible says that old Satan is going to be loose for a little season. He's going to deceive the nations once again. And they're going to rise up in rebellion against Him, even though all the wonderful things that He's done. But He's going to put them down, and that's the last time we hear of judgment. That's the last time we hear of the devil. That's the last time we hear of sin. And then we're ushered off into eternity. What a wonderful purpose. And that is the purpose of God. That Jesus come, Jesus live, Jesus die, Jesus come again, Jesus establish His kingdom, puts down all authority against Him, and His purpose is all eternity with the joys of the Lord. I believe we have a pretty good future ahead of us. Now, the future doesn't look too good tomorrow. It doesn't look too good a year from now, maybe. But I'll tell you what, future for the child of God is good. Future is not just right here before us. The future is out there. And He is that wonderful Lord that has everything arranged and everything is going to work just like He said it would, because He's a wonderful Savior to me. We have that song. We sing that song, "For He's a wonderful Savior to me." If you're saved tonight, and I'm sure that all of us give testimony that we're saved, if we're born again, then He is that wonderful Savior. He has a purpose. Doesn't matter how young we are, doesn't matter how old we are, God has a purpose for our life. God has something that He wants us to accomplish. He doesn't just want us to drift along and do nothing. God wants us to have purpose in life. So many times we find today that there's so many struggles and difficulties in the lives of people because they'll say, "Well, I just don't feel like I've got any purpose." Well, the purpose is there, but we need to find it in the Lord. The purpose is before us, and even Christians sometimes get to feel like, "I just have no purpose." I've had people tell me that. And sometimes, if we'll be honest, we all get to the point of feeling that way. What's my purpose? But I'm glad the Lord had a purpose for me, and He has it for you, and it's our job to search it out and to find the will of God, to accomplish that and to do that, and to do what our Lord would have us to do. Then lastly, His name is wonderful, and He has a wonderful love for mankind. I know some of these things, we very simple, very easy, that we have heard all of our life. But aren't you glad the Lord loved mankind? Aren't you glad the Lord bring it down home? Aren't you glad the Lord loved, put your name there? It becomes a very personal thing now. Salvation is not a corporate thing. Salvation is not a family matter. Salvation is a personal one-on-one matter. Now, it does help us to be in families that teach us and train us. It does help us to be in churches that stand for truth. But I know there's a lot of people that's been saved that wasn't raised maybe the way we were raised. They didn't have the opportunity to go to church. They didn't have the opportunity maybe even go to Sunday school anytime. They were raised differently. But aren't you glad the grace of God sought them out and they now are children of God? And I've heard preachers, I've heard people in churches make observation and tell their testimony that they did not have the opportunity to have a saved mom and dad, but God, through His grace and mercy, sought them out. So it's not a family matter, it's a personal matter. It's an individual one-on-one between you and the Lord. And I'm glad tonight that He gives His love to mankind. No matter who we are or where we find ourselves, He loves us. For God so loved the world, and that's the whole world. Some people try to limit that. It's for the whole world. He loved the whole world. And sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the greatest verses in all the Scripture that show us the love for mankind. God loved sinners. God still loves sinners. Preacher of days gone by made some observations about the Lord, and I want to read part of it. Dr. R.G. Lee, one of the great preachers of days gone by. I'd never heard him personally. I've heard him on tape. And just a real orator. I mean, he was a preacher of the gospel, and he could move the emotions of people by his attitude, by his speech. And he wrote down he made some observations about the Lord and of man, and the love for mankind. It says, He came down from the adorations of heaven to the admonitions of earth and the abominations of earth. He came down from the blessedness of heaven to the bruises of the crucifixion and the tortures of Calvary. He came down from the coronation of heaven to the condemnation of earth, and from the delights of heaven to the slanders of this world. He came down from the excellencies of heaven to the execution of earth. He came down from the favor of the Father's face to the fury of men's faces. He came from glory to the place of gory. He came down from the hallelujahs of heaven to the hisses of earth. He came from the intercessions of heaven to the injustice of this earth, from the kindness of heaven to the killing of earth. He came from the love of heaven to the miseries of earth. He came down from the notables of heaven to the nothingness of men. He came from the praise of heaven to the persecutions of earth, and from the heaven to the revealing of the ridicules of the earth. He came down from the song of heaven to the sneers and the scars of earth. He came from the worship of the angelic host to the homeless wandering over the earth, and to the wrath and the wrangling of unprincipled men. Thank God He came. Thank God tonight that we can look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and His purpose was especially just for you and I. We've heard it said that if it was just for me, I believe He would come. And I believe that. Yeah, but thank God there's multitudes of people that have come to know the Lord. And when you come to know the Lord, you come to know that His name is wonderful. And at the feet of Jesus, one day everyone shall bow. But you and I tonight, we can look and we can be honored because one day He looked upon us and said, "Come unto Me, all you that labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That makes His name pretty wonderful. That makes His name just really special to us because one day He called me by name. It became personal. I was raised in church. And there was a time I don't know church. But I'm glad it was one day He called me by name. Didn't matter how many times I'd been in church. Didn't matter how much I'd done. Doesn't matter how many times my mom and dad had taken me to church. One day He came to me. Now, I thank God they gave opportunity that I could hear. And they were in the position and they loved the Lord. And they made sure I heard the gospel from the very first of my life all the way on until I was out of home. And thank God for a family that loved the Lord. You see, they found out that His name's wonderful. And if it was wonderful to them, they wanted it wonderful for their son. You and I tonight that are children of God, we want it wonderful for our people. For those that are close to us, for our family, for our loved ones, we want them to experience the same thing we've experienced because we know not only is His name Jesus, but He's wonderful. And He's that one that cares and will take care of us. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes. And the Scripture says, casting all our cares upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Every struggle, every problem that we're having, you know what? The Lord cares about it. He's not that distant person, that personality. I'm glad He's a person that lives on the inside. I'm glad He's that one that lives within my heart and through the work of the Holy Spirit, directs us and helps us. Why? Because He's wonderful to us. He cares about us. And He wants the best for His people. And He's offered us and He's given us the opportunity to have the best of both worlds. To be a Christian, that makes it great in this world. To be a Christian, what a wonderful place it is to go to heaven. The best of both of them. And may God help us to know that His name, greater than any other, His name is wonderful. Let's stand together tonight.